Yes, greetings from Release International. Really thankful to be here this morning. Thank you that you're a church that prays and supports and does practical things for our brothers and sisters. And I really thank the minister here, but also Ray, for inviting me here this morning. And so this morning, as we've already heard, we've had prayers, but also things that are going on around the world for our brothers and sisters. And so, and as I share this morning, I just want us to start off just thinking of the word home. So when you think of home, what does that mean to you? So I'm going to sort of ask and pick on people, and I hope you don't mind, make it a little bit more interactive. When you think of the word home, what does that mean to you? Okay, yeah. So safe, comfortable place. Yeah, thank you. Just over here. Yeah, warm, yeah, especially in this, you know, sort of weather now, we think we want to be warm and cozy. And just at the back. Security, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Family, yeah. And, you know, we started off just talking about our brothers and sisters, and we're thinking of, you know, the things and the cost that they pay, the price that they pay for following Jesus. And I thought of the word home because I just thought, home, like, we are so secure in our world here. You know, when we think of our homes, you know, different thoughts have come up in different words. When we think of our brothers and sisters who, home just means where they can lay their head, you know, because they have to be on the run for whatever reason, for the sake of the gospel. So for them, home really is where they can find, wherever they find themselves. And I was reminded of this, just before the pandemic, I took a team of young people and we went on a mission trip to Thailand and Laos. And during that trip, we met a Pakistani family. So he was a doctor and his wife was a midwife and they had three teenage children. And really speaking to them, I was really struck. And that was where, you know, stay thinking of that word home, because for them, they have lived in Pakistan, but because they were Christians, they have had a lot of threats to their life. They've had a lot of things done to them just because of their faith. And so one day they were told and they said, you've got to leave everything tonight. Because if you don't, the clinic that the husband ran and the wife together was going to be set alight. And so they had to literally leave everything that they knew and held there and take a one-way flight ticket to Thailand. And they end up in Thailand as refugees and they were waiting for the UN to resettle them. But one thing that really struck me with that family is that despite them finding themselves in a different foreign country where they didn't actually know the language, they were still so full of hope and joy. And they were really thankful that a local church was supporting them because they really didn't have a recourse to public funds. They couldn't work. They couldn't support themselves. But they, here they were, found themselves in a different home, but yet they were thankful for the support of brothers and sisters that were living there, that were supporting them. And so when we think of home, I want us to really just, in our comfort, in our security, think of those who really don't have that because of their faith in Jesus. And be reminded of them when we are in our own homes. And so here, is a map, and it shows, so there's been a lot of flights, and I mentioned a little bit of it as I talked about Afghanistan briefly. So we know that in the summer, when the Taliban took over, a lot of Christians had to flee. And actually we see there in the stats, right at the bottom, right there, that the UN estimates that at the end of 2020, 82 million people were forcibly displaced globally. And that was double the number displaced in 2011. So when we think of that, that figure, that's a staggering, you know, number of people. And each number represents a people, a person, a family. And we see, you know, in Syria, so if we look just on my left here, we see, you know, we know that Syria, the numbers of Christians, they have decreased over the years due to persecution. So Christians have had to really flee And a lot of them, you know, due to the years of civil war and persecution, many now live in refugees. So they find their home in a different land. And we see the same in Iran. And actually in Iran, the authorities, they continue to harass leaders, imprison them. But yet, Iran has one of the fastest growing churches. And we look at Nigeria, and Nigeria is actually my home country, so I was born in Nigeria. And the situation there is really sad, worrying. But yeah, we see the Archbishop of Jos that we work alongside him in Northern Nigeria. He says, we will not let fear stop us from doing the work that God has called us to do. And he's written a memoir, and it's on the desk, and I really encourage you to get a copy and read. And he says, fear will not stop us from doing what God has called us to do. But they have, you know, and we see this countless times that our brothers and sisters are persecuted. They fill us with hope. They challenge us. And for me, I always say, gosh, I don't know if I, you know, that I have to learn their resilience, the way they believe in God and trust Him despite the odds. It challenges me daily in my faith and in my walk with God. And so we go on to, we see Pakistan, like I mentioned, Eritrea, and as someone mentioned earlier, it is known as the North Korea of Africa. But yet, despite Christians fleeing, they fill us with hope. And this picture is our partner, Jamal. Jamal works in Iraq, and I believe that he's actually there right now. And 2 weeks ago, we hosted him on an online session, and he was really speaking about the work that he does, and he shares his remarkable testimony of coming to know Jesus. He used to work for Saddam Hussein, and how in that time he didn't, you know, he was a Muslim, he didn't believe in God, but how he had this encounter with God, and God changed his life and saved him. And today he lives, although he lives in the UK, he still goes back into Iraq, and he hands out aid, he gives aid to refugee camps. But also, he says, not only just to Christians, but also to Muslims. And a lot of them are coming to find Jesus because they're like, you're showing us so much love and faith and grace. So we want to know this God that you believe in. And so when he gives our aid, a lot of them come and they come to know Jesus. And one of the things he says is that being out there in Iraq and seeing what God is doing, it fills him with so much hope. So he comes back to the UK, he goes out, I think he said about 6 times a year. But God has given him so much favor there that they're able to take Bibles into like local centers, and the ministers have given him so much favor. And that's remarkable because you just think, God, how is that possible? But that's what God does. And I guess today I really want to encourage us that despite the stories that we hear that can be so heartbreaking, but yeah, there is so much hope. And so we read from Acts chapter 8, and we see just at the end of chapter 7 that Saul had approved of the killing of Stephen. And Stephen is known as like the first martyr in the Bible. And as a result, the church scattered. So persecution is not new. It started back in the book of Acts, and it's still going on today. And we see that despite the great persecution that took place, the church scattered, and we see that in Pakistan. We see, just as in my earlier, the map that I showed, Christians are being displaced. And you see that despite wherever they find themselves, and the church is growing. So we see that in, you know, like I mentioned, in Iran, in China. China also has one of the fastest growing churches. And although they're on the ground, but yet the church there is growing. And as we see at the end of that reading, that great joy, there was great joy in that city. So, because God used Philip, and signs and wonders were being done, and it brought great joy. And we see that like in Jamal's story where lives have been touched. In Northern Nigeria, we see that, you know, some of our partners work helping to support Christians that have faced trauma due to Boko Haram. And they see lives transformed because of the hope of Jesus. And so Stephen's stoning and his desire to, and Saul's desire to press followers of Jesus led to the early church scattering. But then this led to so much boldness. And we see that today, boldness in the lives of our brothers and sisters. You know, I've got a book on the table there, Helen Bohania. She is an Eritrean, and she was imprisoned in a shipping container for 3 years. And when you think of shipping containers, it's not a place for human beings to be. And that's for goods, that's for things to be carried. But that was the condition that she lived in for 3 years. And in there, in the summer, it's so hot, it's like 40 degrees. And in the winter, it's absolutely freezing. And her crime, she was a gospel singer. So when we think of us today being able to sing, she couldn't do that. She was in prison for 3 years. But today she's thankfully released, and a lot of partners worked alongside to help get her out of the Eritrea. And today she's still preaching the gospel. She's still encouraging people to pray. And actually with the situation that we have in Ethiopia and Eritrea today, she's been calling prayer meetings and really speaking out, saying more needs to be done to get people out. And so we see that boldness, but we see the gospel spread. And we see this even today. We see in Nigeria and in so many places, Iran, the church is growing because God is at work. But also we see that hope and that joy. And it's the same each time whether I've gone to Kenya to meet Somali Christians, I see that hope and that joy. That they're not hopeless. They say, no, we might have gone through difficult things, but we know that we serve a God who is faithful. And so they have that faith and that hope. And that encourages me, because I'm like, gosh, if I'd gone through some of the things you've gone through, would I really be full of hope? But yeah, you are encouraging me. And so one of the things that we see that persecution does, it teaches us. We see this in the lives of our brothers and sisters. It teaches us about mission, how we can go out and share the gospel. And we see the church growing as a result. The gospel changing lives, transforming lives. We see the grace of God at work in our lives, in their lives. I mean, Ray read Richard Vembrand. Actually, Richard Vembrand was the one that inspired the start of Release International. Because when he, after his imprisonment, he did a tour of the US and the UK. And in the States, he set up an organization called Voice of Matters. And we work quite closely with them. But he said that he wanted Christians, because he said the Christians in the West were sleeping, because we really didn't understand what was going on. And so we see that the church growing, we see hope. And that was one thing Richard Vembrand and so many others that have shared, I said, Bibi, the theme at the end is the hope that they have to share at the end. That regardless of what they go through, there is hope. And it's the same for us. Some of us might be going through difficult times. But just want to encourage you that there is hope. Hope in the name of Jesus. Hope in the God that we serve. The same God that got Asia Bibi out after 10 years in prison. Even Peter Jacek, who was, arrested and imprisoned in a foreign prison on trumped up charges. The same God who gave them hope and freedom is the same God that we serve today. And so I just want to encourage you that there is hope in the name of Jesus. Amen. And our response, so a few things, and I really, as we've heard these stories, what is our response? And I'll say one, prayer. And like I mentioned at Release, we're really passionate about prayer. So as a staff team, we actually spend the first part of our day praying. And we pray for our brothers and sisters. But also we have the prayer shield. And this is available online or as part of our magazine, as part of our quarterly magazines. And so it's got prayer points from Christians that we can pray. And today, here we are praying, and it gives specific countries. So from sort of China, Pakistan, Vietnam, India. And today we're actually praying for India. And so I really encourage you at the end to come and get a copy of this, because you can use it in your own prayer time. But these prayers are real stories and real prayers from Christians saying, pray for us. And today, here in the prayer show today, we're praying for India. And it says, pray for believers in a village in Mandya, Pradesh, where radical Hindus raided a prayer meeting, beating a pastor and several church members. Extremists kicked Lila Bahai in the stomach, sadly killing her unborn son. So those are the kind of things that we can stand in prayer for. And we can see God change lives. We can see God answer prayers, just like we've shared in the story of Asia Bibi. And so many other people that we've shared about. So prayer. The other thing you can do, you can sign up to receive information. You can follow us on our social media. But also you can give your time and resources. So it could be your time praying, like I know Ray and a group of others do here. Or also it could be writing letters to your MP. So you could write something here called Speak Out, where you can write letters to Christians that are in prison. Because I remember this really vividly. It was in 20, just trying to remember the date correctly. It's about 2017. And one of my colleagues, he went out to Pakistan. And he went to the family of Asia Bibi. And he said something that really struck me. That in their home, around the house, were letters that people had written from around the world saying, we're praying for you, we're standing with you. And that brought so much hope and comfort to that family. And so something as simple as writing can really make a difference. And it was a hope that Asia Bibi's husband and the children had that really helped them through a really difficult time, knowing that they were Christians that they didn't know, they'd never met, and probably never meet, who were praying for them. That brought so much comfort. But you can also write letters to your MPs or the authorities on behalf of Christians that are in prison. And that's something that we can do that is practical. You could give of your time, you could give of your money. There are different ways that we can respond to the suffering of our brothers and sisters. And we can read their stories and be inspired by their faith and be challenged as well in our walk. Because actually in her story, it was over a cup of water, which led to a death sentence. But yet her unwavering faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I really encourage you as I finish to remember that we live here in the free West. But may we never forget our brothers and sisters who suffer for the sake of the gospel. May we be encouraged. May we remember them in our daily lives, in our homes, as we go about our business. And be reminded of their faith, of their life, of their sacrifice. And may we also be challenged. What is the cost for us of following Jesus? And the scripture says about taking up our cross and following Jesus. May we take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. But also do come at the end and speak, because we also have a few, there's like a Christmas catalogue that you can order, fill things like stocking fillers and things like books. And yeah, I just want to finish by saying thank you for inviting me, and may you be challenged to also, you know, like I mentioned, listen to the podcast. We actually have a podcast that comes out every month. And you can listen to that, hearing from partners who share some of the work that they do. Thank you so much. God bless you.